Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
I hate scary movies. I hate watching them.
All
and
scary
then,
movies are just like slasher films. Scary movies.
Just any rom-com.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head, made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for brain and spine conditions. Today, why we tell scary stories.
We actually can experience these emotions as a result of the way that we comprehend stories. So imagine I told you a creepy story about a dark house with lots of cobwebs and the wind is whistling and the moon is being obscured by the clouds. You can create this sense of foreboding. And ultimately, if you are a much more skilled storyteller than I am, you could create a real sense of creepiness and finally even fear. Well, that's amazing that you could take a bunch of words and create a series of emotions in people with those words. And if you're a gifted storyteller, also with the sound of your voice and,
yeah,
and the pragmatics and the timing of that.
And it's interesting that an emotion that we would associate with something to be avoided, we actually put ourselves in situations where we know we're going to be frightened a little bit. And so why would we do that? Why would we find it appealing to create a feeling knowing that the feeling is in most instances thought to be unpleasant?
One part of that as well, it may just be enjoyable to experience an emotional range that's beyond the norm. For most of us, thankfully, live in a society where there isn't anything that you need to fear upon stepping out of your door in the morning. And so you might not really have the chance to engage in something really fearful. So this gives you an opportunity to do that. But there's a great educational reason for wanting to do it too, which is while the world isn't generally really dangerous, there are still lots of things that we do fear. So lots of people, for example, find the prospect of speaking in front of a group to be scary, to create real fear. Well, a natural reaction to fear, of course, is to run from it. I'm simply not going to do this. And so let's take public speaking as an example. If you are the sort of person who fears public speaking, then the natural reaction would be to just never speak in public. But you miss out on a lot of opportunities. And so one of the things you have to learn to do is to confront scary situations and recognize that even though something might be frightening, that doesn't necessarily make it bad. Well, how can you learn to do that? One way you can learn to do that is by hearing a ghost story. And it seems a little strange, but actually, yeah, if you hear a ghost story and you get through the experience, then having survived that, you realize, you know what? I was scared and I lived. And now when another situation comes along that's also scary, you can say, you know what? I don't have to run away from this. I can get through it because on the other side of this is something that may not be scary.
And this goes back to what we were talking about in the previous show about stories. That, you know, when we're experiencing things or hearing about things, we're making connections between the sequence of events in a lifespan. So as Art says, you have this feeling, you think, I would never want to have that feeling. And then you realize what it's like after you have that feeling, what the next feeling is, which is, you know, we've talked about this in relationship to the notion of failure and people who have a, you know, deathly afraid of failing at anything. So they don't even try just to avoid the experience. And yet what many failure stories do, if you think about that as a ghost story,
yeah,
you know, you see someone who has had this experience and you perhaps vicariously experience a little bit with them. And then you realize you come out the other side and actually, first of all, you survive the experience and then something good might even come from the, yeah, experience, right?
You know, and if you think about the kind of classic stories, I mean, to think about stories and fear and success and all of that, you know, if you think about the classic Horatio Alger type stories, you know, from back at the turn of the previous century, you know, the version of those stories, I mean, the standard storyline for those stories was somebody who started off in poor circumstances and worked hard and overcame adversity. And it was never a straight upward path.
Right.
There was always one or more obstacles that got in the way that looked insurmountable, but by sheer force of hard work and a little bit of good luck, you know, those were overcome and there was success in the end. Having a storyline that helps you to understand there's fear and then success, or fear and relief, or fear and redemption, those storylines are helpful to help you to predict what might happen to you in the future.
Yeah. A lot of this is mediated by how imaginative you actually are. Because if you're listening to this story or you're watching a movie or reading a book and it's scaring you a little bit, you go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
Well,
right?
It becomes productive for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, and this is, you know, if you think about different genres of entertainment, the thing about scary stories or books is that you, the consumer, have to do a fair amount of work.
Yeah.
To fill in details and to think through all of, because words, you know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and you know, we could quibble on the number, right? But there's a lot of detail in pictures and in movies that is missing in a sentence that you speak, because the thing about language is that it is of necessity missing a lot of the details that you expect your listener or listeners to fill in order to understand what you said. And so that means you, as the consumer of these stories, have to do a lot of work to fill in the scariest details of what's going on. And that work stays with you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the moment, a slasher film has got some blood and gore and lots of unexpected scares. Everything's calm and then because that's really all you got. I mean, there's not a lot of other stuff in your arsenal when you're just trying to do something really scary, because you have to show every detail, which is why the directors who are most effective at creating scary movies borrow from literature by leaving out a lot of the details.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Jaws is a scary movie because they didn't have CGI. And Sharknado is not, because they did.
Next week, Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke will talk about the psychology of desire. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes and SoundCloud, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.